Belong to the ambitious? A talk given by Venerable Dr. K. Sri Dhammananda Nayaka Thera of the Buddhist Vihara, Kuala Lumpur.
What is ambition or craving from the Buddhist point of view, and how we are going to mold our future life according to Buddhism? People have different opinions regarding this word, ambition. Therefore, I would like to clarify to avoid misconception. Every person here in this world maintains some sort of ambition. When we refer to the Buddha, we can understand that he too had a great ambition in his mind that started long ago. Then he continued and developed this ambition life after life until he gained what he wanted. But this ambition is called aspiration to reach the main purpose of life. When we read the various discourses given by the Buddha, we can understand as to how he had to work for gaining his aim. This he has revealed to us by referring to previous birth stories. He also explained the nature of great virtues and discipline that he had to cultivate to be perfect in order to achieve his ambitions. When we compare our ambition with the Buddha's ambition or aim, we can see the vast difference. Because most of our ambitions are based on desires, anxieties, to enjoy worldly pleasures. But in the case of the Buddha, his ambition is free from selfish desires. We develop our ambition by neglecting others' happiness and work for our own happiness with selfishness, disregarding how others feel. That is why we create enormous problems and miseries in this world. We are willing to do any kind of evil, wicked, cruel, and dangerous things for our own pleasure. So, from the Buddhist point of view, this kind of selfish ambition is not justifiable. We develop another kind of ambition by working very hard to obtain freedom, happiness, liberation from our existing worldly problems. This ambition is good, and according to the Buddha, this is not selfish ambition. However, we must not be satisfied when we achieve these mundane ambitions. We must try to go further in our spiritual development. The third step in this ambition is that while working for our own happiness, freedom, and salvation, we also have to do some services for the benefit and welfare of others or to relieve others' suffering. The Buddha adopted this great ambition with deep conviction and boundless compassion. While working for his own salvation and freedom, he served others in every possible way. He continued his service to humanity by sacrificing his pleasure for the benefit of others. By cultivating all the good qualities and virtues, by eradicating evil thoughts, and maintaining purity in the mind. This is the way he developed his selfless ambition of gaining his enlightenment so that we could relieve others from suffering. When he started to develop his ambition or aspiration, he never cultivated it for his own benefit, but for the benefit and the welfare and the happiness and the liberation of every living being in this world. He developed great compassion and wisdom in his mind, and he expressed this through words and actions. But our ambitions, which are more selfish in nature, can create much misery and problems and difficulties. Therefore, we have to learn how to direct our ambitions to relieve others' suffering, to bring about peace and happiness. Such ambitions are meaningful because they contribute the greater good of mankind. It is very difficult to discover honest and sincere human beings who are totally free from selfish desires. This is the main reason why there are many problems among mankind. As you are attached to the world, you want to know whether it is wrong to entertain some ambition in your mind. The idea that you develop in your mind to become doctors, lawyers, professors, teachers, or businessmen are ambitions. But nobody in this world can say that your ambitions are wrong or that they go against your religion. There is one way to develop the ambitions of those who have renounced the world life, and another for those who want to remain as people still attached to the world or as householders. Buddhism is misinterpreted and misunderstood by many people. Certain precepts and observances that the Buddha prescribed are specifically meant for those who have renounced the worldly life. Some people confuse these with the precepts meant for those who lead the life of householders. For instance, during the Buddha's time, many rich people who were enjoying their mundane pleasures approached the Buddha and told him that they are worldly people and it was difficult for them to renounce the worldly life. They had lot of commitments, obligations and duties. So they requested the Buddha to introduce a religious way of life for them to practice. Knowing the situation in the worldly life, the Buddha did not say that they cannot lead a religious life without renouncing. He gave enough guidelines and advice for them to lead a respectable religious life by fulfilling all their family obligations and duties and without neglecting their business and continuing their normal way of life. The Buddha advised them to follow certain important religious principles to guide them. The religious teacher who had renounced everything to gain his enlightenment did not advise others also to renounce the worldly life at once in order to lead a religious life. Renunciation must be undertaken when realization appears in the mind. Otherwise, there will be feeling of disappointment or frustration, and those who make a premature renunciation will return to the lay life. So, One has to wait until such realization appears in the mind. The Buddha advised people to work hard without wasting their valuable time and to earn, invest for the future and to support their families, fulfill their duties and obligations and to spend carefully what they earn without wasting. According to the Buddha, renunciation is not the only way to practice Buddhism. He advised lay people to practice Buddhism while fulfilling their duties. At the same time, he did not object to the world happiness of lay people. He has said that there are four kinds of worldly happiness that householders can experience. When you come to know that you have earned something for yourself through honest means, the happiness that you gain through your accumulated wealth gives happiness, which develops confidence in the household life. There are some people who go on earning and accumulating wealth, but who never experience happiness and do not utilize their property in a proper way. According to the Buddha, we can experience worldly pleasure by using what we have earned in a reasonable way without violating our basic religious principles. It is not correct to say that Buddhists should not experience worldly happiness. There are certain harmless cultural amusements and entertainment which are important to relax the mind and to reduce tension among nations. Human emotion can be satisfied by adopting harmless pleasures and without disturbing the peace and happiness of others. Many cultural entertainments in Asia actually develop through Buddhism. But when people have reached a certain level of spiritual development, they will voluntarily renounce even such entertainments. When the realization of the real nature of worldly life and worldly conditions appear in their mind. Through a long period of mental development, they realize that in the final analysis, life is nothing but a dream, and that worldly pleasures are of a fleeting nature. The three characteristics of every existing component is anicca, dukkha, and anatta, means impermanent, unsatisfactoriness, and unsubstantiality. Can be understood clearly through insight. By insight, we mean a realization of the ultimate truth which appears when the person has trained his mind to see the real nature of existence. We need not explain the complexities of these ideas to everyone. For example, when we introduce Buddhism to children, it is not necessary to discuss these subtle subjects because children are not capable of understanding such complex ideas. Otherwise, this kind of explanation can create more confusion in the minds of people not ready to understand. This doctrine is suitable only for mature adults who have seen the nature of change and impermanence and can understand unsatisfactoriness in the light of this experience. Some people say that Buddhism is responsible for certain countries remaining undeveloped and backward. They also say that Buddhism always talks about suffering and giving up the worldly life to sit in a forest and meditate. It is for this reason that Westerners in the past have introduced Buddhism as a specific religion. Whatever they say, there can be no controversy regarding the unsatisfactoriness of life. While there can be no controversy for the mature person who has studied Buddhism deeply, you must know how to introduce this religion according to the understanding capacity, education, and maturity of the people who listen to us. If we are going to talk only about ills of life and uncertainty and impermanence of everything to children and immature people, the psychological effect can actually hinder their progress in the worldly life. This is why the Buddha never condemned the devotional practices of religion, like offerings of flowers, camels, and various other religious activities. Those who are not intellectually ready to understand the true teaching should be allowed to develop their sadhā or confidence in this way. These practices develop feeling or morality, which is the first stage along the path to spiritual freedom. The other two, concentration and wisdom, come later as part of a long process of spiritual development. The Buddha was a most active and energetic religious teacher. He advised people to be active in their day-to-day life according to their skill and knowledge. A Buddhist should not lead a lazy and easy life and blame it on Buddhism. The Buddha's advice for lay people is not to waste what they have earned or to go to extremes in indulgence. He advised them not to suffer in order to practice a religion. Everyone must try to lead a respectable, harmless, and peaceful life. Buddhism is known as the middle path. This means not going to the two extremes mentioned above. You may come across certain difficulties in your daily life while leading household life. It is negative. This is the uncertainty and unsatisfactoriness of the world life. You find it difficult to maintain absolute honesty, kindness, and tolerance. The household life can easily influence you to violate some human responsibilities. It is true that no one can become a perfect religious man in the household life. Your responsibilities, obligations, and duties can disturb your mind and provoke or persuade you to do certain things which go against your consciousness. On the other hand, if you try to be too religious as a lay person by changing your normal day-to-day behavior, your attitude may not appeal to your family members, friends, and others. If you follow Buddhist rules, which are meant specifically for monks who live in monasteries and temples, your associates may be embarrassed and feel that you are neutral to them, or that you are eccentric. Therefore, try to lead a sensible, normal life by observing sensible religious principles, but do not become a fanatic in your religious life and become a mockery in the eyes of others. Not only will people laugh at you, but they will also get a wrong idea of what Buddhism teaches. If you are not fanatical, you can live and work even with the other elements. The Buddha has pointed out that you must know your limits in everything. Try to practice religious principles which are universally accepted by understanding people. As maybe your duty is to lead a normal religious life while fulfilling your family obligations. If you neglect your responsibilities towards your family in order to practice your religion, you may experience some problems. You must know how to adjust your way of life according to the country and society where you live, and not to go against the important cultural, traditional practices of the majority if they are harmless. And also, you should cooperate with others without behaving as if your religion is the only one that has the right to accept. Buddhism is a religion of freedom. It also insists on the freedom of other religions. Your common sense and understanding are important to practice this religion. Many people are bothered by this question. They ask, if eradication of craving is essential to achieve the final goal according to Buddhism, how can we live without craving? It is true that certain necessities such as food, clothing, shelter, transport, and medicine are indispensable for our living. At the same time, we also need enough income to support our families and to fulfill certain duties, and also attachment to husband, wife, and children is necessary. We should not regard feeling for these as immoral claims according to Buddhism. The Buddha did not explain that the need to stay alive is a craving which creates bad karma. Therefore, Buddhism does not regard this as a sin. What the Buddha wanted to point out is the danger of selfish desire. People jealous of selfish desire for worldly pleasure and for continuing existence in this world and also hereafter. Our liking for certain things can be utilized to meet our requirements sensibly without creating selfish ideas which harm oneself and others. not only Buddhism, but other religions also point out the danger of selfish desire. If selfish desire is harmful, how to realize it is the next question. When we see how difficult it is to stop craving for our own property, we will understand that others too love what they own. That is why when we observe the preacher not to take the things which belong to others, we stop craving for other things. When we stop this selfish desire, we allow others to live peacefully without any fear about their property. This is a kind of service to others. When we become aware of this selfish craving, we should take steps to train our mind to regard all our necessities as impermanent, without developing attachment, but by regarding them as aids to fulfill our duties. For example, if you have much money, we should see it as an opportunity to help our fellow men and develop charity. Those of us who do not have money to share should be generous with their energy and time for the welfare of humanity. At this stage, we have to think that we are only custodians of the property we own and that we are responsible to maintain it. If we are unduly attached to material things, we will experience some problems and difficulties. Then, fear, insecurity, suspicion, and unrest will disturb our peace of mind. That is the point we had to pay for clinging to property. There have been cases of people who were so attached to property that they have gone mad when they lost their property to natural disaster or theft. Buddhism teaches us not to be so unreasonably attached to material goods. After all, we cannot take it away with us when we die. If you really want to experience peace, the only thing that we can do is to reduce all our responsibilities and hand over our possessions to others who are entitled to them or donate them to some charitable or religious organization. After that, our mind will be free from the greed of honesty. If you want to develop spirituality, you must be prepared to sacrifice your property for the welfare and happiness of others who are suffering from poverty, sickness, and too many other disturbing cases. However, this distaste for all material wealth must come naturally and as a result of true insight. If a man who is not ready to give up his possessions or loved ones forces himself to do so, he will be terribly unhappy, and this will not aid him in his spiritual development. Renunciation must be practiced by wisdom and understanding. Those who are not ready should not give up their attachment forcefully.
There must be no room for regret later. This is a vital requirement in Buddhism. Those who have not learned how to maintain contentment while leading a worldly life never gain satisfaction but develop jealousy, suspicion, and fear. They experience worry and insecurity. That is why the Buddha says, Santukhi Parama Dhana. Contentment is the highest wealth. Poor people think that rich people are very happy and lucky. But they do not know the fear and tension that disturb the mind of the wealthy. Many even experience difficulty to sleep. A poor man does not experience such problems, although